Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's time to say goodbye to 2013. And should old acquaintances be forgot, we'll spend the next 2 hours talking about some of the key stories of the last days of the year and what it means for 2014. Good morning, I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. On today's show, we'll discuss your transportation strategies for New Year's Eve tonight. Are you taking the train or staying at home? And are you willing to pay Uber's obscene surge pricing? Also today, Mattathias Schwartz of The New Yorker. He has a long piece in this week's issue about failed drug policies in Honduras. Will 2014 be the year that the war on drugs gets real reform? But first, teachers, students, meet your new boss. Starting in 14 hours, Carmen Farina will lead the Department of Education under Bill de Blasio in New York City. While the press conference introducing her yesterday was mostly a celebratory affair, there is no doubt about the list of tough choices she'll have to face starting tomorrow, including the future of charter schools, testing, and contract negotiations with the teachers union. WNYC's Beth Fertig was at the press conference yesterday and knows Farina's record well. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Before we get to some questions about Farina's record, I want to ask you out there, teachers, principals, students, parents, Carmen Farina has a long record of service in New York City, decades in the education system. Have you interacted with her at all? Do you have any Carmen Farina stories you want to share? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or if you're a student or parent in New York City schools today and don't know much about Carmen Farina, what do you think about the pick from what you've heard so far? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. So, Beth, you were at the press conference yesterday. A lot of talk about Carmen Farina's long years of service in education in New York City. Do you have a particular story about Carmen Farina that you think illustrates the kind of educator she is?
I've heard stories from principals and people who have worked with her over the years about she's very much a collaborator. She likes to pair different schools together. When she was a district superintendent in Brooklyn, she would take two schools that could learn from each other. But the other thing that she used to do was, starting when she was principal at PS6 in Manhattan's Upper East Side, where, you know, I'm saying she's a collaborator, but that doesn't mean she's always warm and cuddly. You know, she can also be very tough, and she earned a reputation there for pushing out teachers if they didn't really, you know, go along with her goals of what she wanted. She was very demanding in terms of her education standards, and she really raised the profile of that school. But yet she is also someone who loves to collaborate, and she started, according to Lucy Calkins, who she runs this program at Teachers College. It's a reading and writing program that's very popular in many of the schools and around the country. And Carmen and she have worked together, and Lucy was telling me how Carmen started what are called glory walks when she was a district superintendent, but also she would do a lot of this stuff when she was principal. She wanted to show examples of good teaching. And when she was the principal at PS6, you know, which was known as a very, very good school, what she would do is she would invite teachers from other parts of the city to come and to watch her classes. And then she would say to them, oh, did you like that? What did you like? Okay, well, you know what? I'll free up that teacher. He or she can go to your school for an afternoon. I'll find someone to cover for them. So that was a very generous thing to do. And people tell me that it really made a big impression of somebody who wanted to, you know, forge these collaborations and partnerships and have teachers learn from each other to see best practices, to see really good examples. I think it was either Lucy or the new principal, the man who replaced her at PS6, told me so much about her organizational structure and how it was just so well run. And yeah, it was actually Lucy Calkins, a teacher college, who told me that Carmen would free up time when it was a teacher's birthday. She would teach their class so they could go out for lunch. So she really has a very personal touch with people. She does one-on-one connections with people, and that's her style.
So you mentioned a personal touch along with toughness, and that toughness is something that came up at the press conference yesterday. Let's listen to Bill de Blasio introducing Carmen Farina, taking a not-so-subtle swipe at previous schools' chancellors who came from outside the school system.
Some leaders have to try and convince people that they know what they're talking about. Carmen is already universally recognized. She's one of the great educators in this city.
And in case you haven't heard her voice, here's Carmen Farina from yesterday's press conference.
There hasn't been the sense, oh, my God, I'm a principal. It's been, oh, my God, I'm a principal. So just changing the tone of how you say that and also saying to people, you know what, you're doing a damn good job. And why not say it? It doesn't mean we believe it. Everything is terrific. It's not. But in places where it is, let's celebrate, celebrate, and celebrate.
So you hear her there talking about being proud of being an educator. That's such a difference in tone from what we heard of from some teachers under the Bloomberg administration who felt like they were demonized by Mayor Bloomberg. But is that how important is that? Is your sense to parents? Do they care if it's a top educator at the top of the DOE when you're talking about who's running the schools, or do they care that the schools are just running well?
I think they just care that the schools are running well. I mean, let's face it. You know, how many people listening have ever heard of Carmen Farina, you know, but within education circles, she's kind of a rock star. People, and this is why her appointment is so widely heralded by, you know, anyone in the know in New York on the educators are so excited to see one of their own being chancellor. But I think it does make a basic impression, depending on how you sell it. You know, Mayor Bloomberg sold it as, I'm shaking things up. I'm bringing someone in from the outside who could really make this system better and, you know, turn things around. But, you know, ultimately, although he got higher graduation rates and he created a lot of new choices for parents by opening 600 more schools, including almost 200 charters, there was problems in his ability to connect with parents because there was this impression that the DOE was really run as more corporate style, or that the teachers were being demonized, as you said. Even though they got a big pay increase, they have not had a contract for 4 years, and this whole focus on testing has really alienated them and the parents. So when Bill de Blasio comes along and says, I'm going to appoint an educator, that makes a real difference. Also, parents and teachers clearly remember when Mayor Bloomberg appointed someone who had no experience in education, which was Kathy Black, who came from the publishing world, and that turned out to be a disaster that only lasted a few months. She really did not connect with that job. So talking now about an educator after years in which there was an attorney who ran the school system, then Kathy Black, then Dennis Walcott, who has some teaching experience and has certainly been involved in education, but this is now the first chancellor since Rudy Crewe was appointed in the 1990s, who will not need a waiver from the state's law requiring the superintendent of a school system to have a special license.
No waiver required. Well, we're getting some Carmen Farina calls. Melanie in Brooklyn, you are a former principal of PS29 in Cobble Hill, where you worked with Carmen Farina?
Yes, I did.
What can you tell us about her?
Oh, Carmen is the ultimate educator, and we are all, I know I speak for so many people, we're just so thrilled to have her at the helm. I mean, she brings so much experience, knowledge of kids, love of children. She's just like the ultimate educator. She has the respect of so many. You know, there are so many people that she has mentored. She mentored me as a classroom teacher. She mentored me when I was a principal, right through. And she, you know, we've heard so many great things about her. She brings people together, but she's also no nonsense. We can't put that aside. It's a wonderful thing. Her expectations are high. She gives everything she's got, but she expects no less from each of us. And
well, thank you so much for your call, Melanie. It's nice to hear from you. And Stephanie on the Upper West Side, you're a parent who interacted with Carmen Farina?
Yep, my two children went to PS6 when she was the principal there, and I am also thrilled about her appointment. I called the show when Brian was asking for commissioner nominations after de Blasio won the election, and I nominated her, so I am really happy about this.
And what is it about her that not only stands out to you as an educator? You said she was the principal to your kids, but to run the whole school system.
Right. I just think she's incredibly smart and creative, and she looks at problems not from, you know, how can we make everyone do it this way, but how can we best serve everybody, and maybe we need a creative solution. And I can think of lots of instances, you know, with individual kids where something wasn't working, and so she created a new program or a new way of doing it, and she said, oh, if it's not working for this child, it's probably not working for 10 other children. And, you know, next thing you know, there's a keyboarding class, and kids who have handwriting trouble are able to learn keyboarding, and we need more nonfiction books for boys, you know, things like that. And I think yeah, those are small cases, but I think it's definitely scalable, and that's just her way of looking at things and approaching them. It's positive, and yes, she does ask a lot, as the principal caller said, but she also gives a lot, you know, as much or more than everybody.
Thanks for your call, Stephanie. And clearly, if you hear there, calling in with your nominations for appointments to the Brian Lehrer Show matters, so keep those calls coming. Elaine in Brooklyn, you have a question about Carmen Farina.
Yes, indeed. I congratulate Carmen Farina on her appointment and wish her, you know, the best, because only God knows how much, okay, our student population need to be well prepared for the future, because it's becoming more and more and more competitive, globally speaking. But one comment, okay, that she did yesterday, actually I believe it to have been the first comment, that really struck me strangely for an educator, and that's the fact that aside from stating that she would bring in the arts, social studies, and science, and emphasize these three subjects in the school system, which I think is wonderful, she also stated that she would not put that much emphasis on math. And I was shocked when I heard that, because I believe it to be at the center of pretty much, okay, any science field, any scientific field.
Our student body
really needs much more math when you compare by and large, okay? And
well,
I'm talking of averages, okay?
Thank you for your call, Elaine. Beth, can you clarify? What did Carmen Farina say about the curriculum and what needs to be a part of it at the press conference
yesterday? I think her point was that in addition to math and reading, which we've put a lot of emphasis on, she wants to bring back science, arts, and social studies, because she felt like those had been pushed aside as teachers and schools focused so much on math and reading because those are the state-tested subjects. So she never said that she was going to diminish the role of math or reading, for that matter. Her main emphasis, her expertise is on reading programs. But she's a primary education person. She's taught elementary schools, and so she definitely knows the importance of those. But she feels like, as many principals and teachers do, that these other subjects didn't get enough attention.
So can you also tease out where Carmen Farina stands on the Common Core curriculum? This has been controversial. Parents have had concerns about it, as well as the testing that's come along with it. What has she said about the Common Core curriculum, and how much can she really affect how much testing happens in New York City schools anyway?
Well, first of all, de Blasio acknowledged yesterday that there are things he has no control over. So he can, you know, talk all he wants about diminishing the importance of tests, but he acknowledged these tests are given by the state. He can't do anything about that. There's going to be annual math and reading tests for students in grades 3 through 8, and then the high school Regents tests. He also can't do anything about the fact that there's a teacher evaluation law that the state passed, that the governor signed, that requires teachers to be evaluated in part with student test scores. 20% of their rating is going to come from how their students perform on standardized tests. So he can't stop those things. What he can do, he said, is diminish the emphasis that the city places on it for its own purposes, whether that's social promotion. Maybe we'll see that they won't be as tough about not promoting students to the next grade if they don't do as well on a test. Or these school report cards, A through F school report cards that the mayor started. De Blasio has said all along on his campaign he wants to get rid of those. He's going to have some form of a school progress report that parents will be able to see how their schools are doing, but it won't be boiled down to an A through F letter grade. And he also won't use the school's performance on tests as much in deciding whether that's a good school. He's going to look at other factors. He also indicated that with the specialized high schools, the ones that students test to get into, he can't do this for Stuyvesant, Bronx Science, and Brooklyn Tech, because the test is required by state law, but there are 5 other schools Bloomberg opened that are, you know, based on a single test, and de Blasio would like to make their admissions based on more than just a single test. So there's things he can do like that. Now, Carmen Farina is going to be taking her marching orders from him. She agrees with him philosophically on a lot of these things, but to get back to your question about the Common Core, Anna, she is not against the Common Core. I've spoken to her recently about it. She likes it. She thinks it's all very fine and well to have more critical thinking, and she talked about that yesterday when she was saying that her father, an immigrant from Spain, saw her learning about the Spanish about the Spanish War, about the Franco regime. He fled the Franco regime, and he was telling her, you know, the stuff in your book is not all that matters. You have to think more critically about that. And so she knows that critical thinking is very important, that kids need to do a lot of writing. She's for those things. It's how you execute it in having teachers prepared. And she is a big believer in teacher training, teacher development, professional development. So she said that her first thing is going to be to focus on getting more training to teachers.
And Carmen Frenia has been quoted as saying, if we do good teaching, that's test prep. And
exactly.
Here's New York State Board of Regents Chancellor Meryl Tisch making that very argument on this show back in September.
I would say that this new push to Common Core will change the paradigm of testing. For a decade, testing has been driving instruction and curriculum. This obsession with drill and kill has been driving what kids are exposed to in the classroom and how classroom time is used. If we start to focus on critical thinking and the development of critical thinking, I believe instruction and curriculum and best practice will drive the test. That is a paradigm shift, and that is why we're taking this on.
So Common Core as a way to sort of focus the testing not on these drills but on basic strategies and the ways of thinking. But I want to follow up on something you said about how Bill de Blasio's administration may deal with test results. And you mentioned social promotion. Is that a term that people are actually using?
That's a term that has been used for many years.
Right.
Mayor Bloomberg did away with social promotion, is how he phrased it, that a kid would get promoted to the next grade even if he or she wasn't doing great because it was more important to be socially with your peers than to be left back. It's harmful for kids to be left back, especially numerous times. And so the mayor said any kid who gets below a level 2 of out of 4 on their state exams would be held back unless they could pass summer school. So, you know, that was controversial at the time. I have not heard Bill de Blasio say he wants to roll it back, but that's potentially an area where he could say, you know, there's more wiggle room if a kid is showing, you know, that he or she is doing better than we thought. You know, it's possible. I'm just throwing it out there as that's another thing that Bloomberg did that was determined by tests.
And Carmen Frenia's tone about being an educator and taking pride in being an educator is something that certainly teachers would welcome, but is this, what do you think her relationship is going to be with the teachers union when they have to go to the table and renegotiate a contract? The teachers union wants retroactive pay increases. What do you think how do you sort of see her as a negotiator with the unions?
She will not be negotiating alone. There'll be a whole bunch of people from the mayor's office and labor relations folks there at the table. But what she said yesterday is that she will take a different tone of cooperation and saying, we know teachers are working hard. We know you want to be part of the solution, working together. She's hoping that will help ease relations with the union, which has not had a very good relationship with Bloomberg these past few years.
So
she would not talk about giving them anything. I mean, nobody's going to bargain in public.
Right. No, so now it's similar to what we heard from Bill de Blasio on the campaign trail, which is
exactly.
a tone of collaboration. But any sense at all of her relationship with unions over the years? With
it's
the
been
teachers
good.
Union? It's been
it's
good?
It's definitely been good, yeah. Yeah, they like her. They definitely support her. And they feel like she's one of them. You know, she started off as a teacher. She was a teacher for 22 years in Brooklyn at PS 29.
And we've got a question from Scott in Soho about dealing with a large budget. What's your question, Scott?
I'm just curious about, I mean, with a, I guess, like a $19 billion budget.
More like $24
billion. Well, yeah, I mean, that's with the pensions and things like that. But, I mean, just the operating budget, that's a whole lot of money. And I'm curious how it's going to go to, what is she going to do to make sure it gets to the teachers and the kids instead of all the people that just siphon off all the money?
You know, she mentioned that yesterday. She said that she wants to bring more professional development in-house and that New York City has some of the most, you know, talented people in the world. If we can't have our own people do it, nobody can. There's a sense that Bloomberg contracted out a lot of services to outside organizations, and so I think her what she was getting at there was that we can have teachers help other teachers without having to bring in outside experts, and that's a way of saving money.
And finally, Beth, Carmen Farina is coming out of retirement for this job. She had to be coaxed by Bill de Blasio to do it. Should we be concerned about her level of enthusiasm for the job, or asking how long she's likely to stay?
She took that head on yesterday when somebody asked her, are you really going to stick around, you know, because she's 70 years old, and do you intend on doing this, or are you just going to do it as a, you know, temporary thing? And she said, oh, no, I don't do anything halfway. And then she joked, saying 70 is the new 40. So, you know, but it's a fair question. I mean, this is a woman who, she retired in 2006 as deputy chancellor. She worked for Joel Klein, the former chancellor, and there were some things that the Bloomberg administration did that she was fully on board. You know, she agreed that they needed to get rid of the old community school boards. She agreed that there needed to be, you know, a stronger management structure. And she definitely yesterday, in fact, said that she supported what the mayor did with school safety. But she disagreed with not giving teachers enough support. She felt like the actual teaching and learning was being overlooked. So she went and she worked at Teachers College as a consultant for many years, visiting schools. She also worked on a program with distinguished principals. So she spent the past 6 years going into schools, and she told me a few weeks ago that what she's been hearing over the years is so much, you know, a low morale, people really feeling like they're scrutinized just based on these test scores, that they're not being encouraged to do anything creative. And so that was something that really convinced her that she wants to come back and make a difference. Yesterday she said it was her grandson, Charlie, who said, you're the best teacher in the world, Grandma, Abuela, he calls her, because you know, she's a daughter of Spanish immigrants. She speaks Spanish. And he was saying, you know, you're the best teacher. Of course you should come back and do it. So she credited her grandson, Charlie. But she really has felt over the years, too, that this is something that she could kind of right the ship, you know, that teachers and principals are feeling so badly about the way things are going. She wants to make a difference. And there are not a lot of people who can do this job, honestly. It's a really, really big job. There were a couple of school superintendents around the country who were considered for this. Some of them did not have very good relations with their unions, and that would not have worked very well in New York, given de Blasio's campaign promises, or they were supporters of closing failing schools or testing. And so, you know, that's something that de Blasio has a clear philosophical position on education, and Carmen Farina's positions really line up with his.
And she told you he's quite convincing. I mean, he kind of gave her the hard sell.
Yeah, yeah. So she went from saying, look, I'm really happy with my retirement. I spend my winters in Florida. I take my grandchildren to Spain every summer to visit family. But she also said yesterday, hey, you know what? My husband, he can go play golf in Florida. I'll visit him. It's okay. It'll work out.
Genevieve in Brooklyn, what do you think about the choice of Carmen Farina to run the schools?
Well, she is a name that, you know, certainly was being floated about, and I've always heard really good things about her. So I am really thrilled with the choice. Certainly, as an educator, that is thrilling to know that, and she's got a great record. So I'm very excited, and as I mentioned, my big concern, you know, I'm an educator. Dennis Walcott, the way he dealt with parents, because I'm an educator who deals closely, I work very closely with the Parents Association, he's dismissive. I mean, he was so dismissive. I get it with teachers, right? We, you know, we were the worst and everything else. But with parents, Dennis Walcott was asked to come to our school, a primarily Afro-Caribbean school, for a breakfast by our PA president. We have a situation at our school at a town hall meeting. He said he'd give a deeper look, but he never did. So he dealt with parents by being dismissive. So I hope that Carmen Farina will not deal in that dismissive way. And that was devastating, his dismissiveness.
Well, thanks, Genevieve. And Beth, what can parents expect from Carmen Farina? Do you think they'll be seeing much of her?
She said that she has to really get her bearings before she focuses on too many changes. But she did single out the Office of Parent Engagement as the first thing she wants to restructure, because she felt like there has been too big a rift with parents. And so she wants to make it easier for them to access the system, get answers to their questions. I think that's something she's going to focus on right away.
All right, WNYC's Beth Fertig on the new boss at this New York City school's Carmen Farina. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Coming up, we'll take a look at the drug war enforcement in Honduras and the U.S. involvement in that. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.